But it's only
Welcome to the Not So Basic Training Podcast, featuring Suzanne Gust. And now, here's the Not So Basic Training Podcast.
Listening. We've all been blamed for not being a good listener. Actually, we listen about 70% of our day, and lots of things are listening that you wouldn't normally think of as listening. Reading is actually a form of listening because you have to understand it, you have to absorb it, and you have to get the information. Watching people's body language is a form of listening, but most of us concentrate listening on listening to words that people are saying either on the phone or in person. And so I want to give you a couple of pieces of advice to become a better listener. My dad had a favorite saying. It was, you have two ears and one mouth, and you should use them in that proportion. Most of the time, listening is what we're doing more than speaking. I'm sure you all know people, however, that are cutting people's sentences off and are doing a lot more speaking than listening. In fact, troublesome to me, I go into organizations constantly and hear that management, those people don't listen. They're bad listeners. It's not that management or leadership are bad listeners, it's that people don't know you've listened. And so the hints that I'm going to give you today are ways to let people know you are listening. People don't think you heard them if they don't see any product of whatever they told you. For instance, if someone says, I have an idea to improve a machine setup, you can listen to them, but if they don't see the machine setup change, they assume you didn't listen. So we're going to look at some ways to change that, because the fact that you didn't do something doesn't mean you didn't listen. Listening. First of all, let me set some standards. People talk between 110 and 135 words per minute. If you're listening to this tape, you probably know that I speak just slightly faster than the normal person. So we hear about 110, 115 words per minute because that's what people speak at. However, we are able to comprehend nearly 450 words per minute. That means we are using about one-third of our brain, one-quarter, one-third of our brain. It means that I can talk this fast, talk 300 words per minute, and you can understand every single thing I'm saying. You might be totally distracted by how fast I'm talking, wondering if I'm even taking a breath. But right now, you can understand everything I'm saying. You can comprehend, you can absorb it. However, most people talk in 110 words per minute, and sometimes they speak even more slowly. So you can hardly even stand it. Why am I telling you all of this? If you're only using a quarter of your brain, guess what happens with the other three quarters? Off it goes. Now imagine that you're sitting, talking on the phone. You're trying to give this person, maybe it's your mother-in-law, all the attention they deserve, being a good listener. However, your mother-in-law happens to be the person that's talking at 90 words per minute. Your mind starts to drift. In fact, you aren't even interested in what she has to say. So again, your mind begins to drift. And suddenly the TV is turned on and you think, oh, I can just watch TV for a moment and I can still listen because certainly my brain can do more than one thing. And suddenly the TV becomes much more interesting than your mother-in-law and you're caught because you hear a sentence that goes something like, are you watching TV? And you instantly reply, no, oh, no, no, no. Well, what happened is you concentrated on what was more interesting to you. Here's some advice. First of all, you need to be more actively involved in listening. And the reason why you need to be actively involved is you need to engage that entire brain because people are only occupying about a quarter or a third of that brain. How do you get more actively involved? Well, some easy hints. On the telephone, you need to not look at the TV, but you can concentrate on the phone. Many people take notes as they're listening because it takes your entire brain to listen and record and even respond back. So the more you can concentrate on what someone's telling you, the more involved you'll be, and that's considered active listening. If you are, when someone's talking, absorbing and repeating back what they're saying, you are actively listening. So, for instance, a listening technique is repeating. So if someone said to you, we need 3 pallets of the XJ11 by 5 o'clock, you could say to them, okay, that's 3 pallets of the XJ11 by 3 o'clock. We've accomplished two things. We've been actively listening. Our whole brain is involved. And also, we have shown someone else that we were listening. Doesn't it feel better to have something repeated? It's a form of customer service, if you want to know the truth, because people know that they're important and that you've listened. Another way of doing that, you've probably left messages for people who don't repeat. Hi, I'd like to leave a message for John Smith. And you hear silence on the other end of the phone. What you want to hear is, okay, John Smith. But you don't hear that. And so you say, hello? And the person said, yep, I got it. And you say, my number is 800-577-4293. And the person goes, uh-huh. And you think, they are not listening. You say, my name once again is Suzanne Gus, spelled with a Z. Mm-hmm. You would deem that person a bad listener. They might have captured every single bit of information you have, but because they didn't repeat it, you can't assume that they knew. In fact, at that point, you just say, give me John's voicemail. I'll leave the message myself. And you do that because you assume it's not correct. Repeating is a powerful technique. It shows someone that you care. It shows someone that you're interested. However, sometimes if you use it too much, it sounds like a parrot. I want three tacos with beans, three tacos with beans, and a soft drink. And a soft drink. And so there's other ways of repeating. Another way of repeating is called paraphrasing. So you take the same information, but you spit it back in a different way. If someone says, I need three pallets of the XJ11 by 3 o'clock, you say, great, I'll get those pallets to you then by 3 o'clock. I haven't repeated exactly what they've said. I've paraphrased it. And paraphrasing is actually a better technique than repeating because you had to internalize and understand it to be able to repeat it back in a different format. So people assume you're even better at listening when you paraphrase. If someone says, I'd like to leave a message for John Smith, my name is Suzanne Gust, someone could paraphrase by saying, great, Suzanne, I'd be happy to leave that message for John. And my number is 800-577-4293. Oh, an 800 number. Great. I've got it. They could even repeat it back. That's 800-577-4293. That makes me feel like someone listened and understood. So let's take a business and the employees who feel they're not being listened to. They come to a manager and they say, I've got a new way to set up a machine. And the manager goes, uh-huh, I'm listening. We want to reset the mode of the XYZ button. And if we change the setup time, it will do this, that, and the other thing. And the manager goes, mm-hmm, sounds like a good idea. I'll see what I can do. Walks away. The people feel like they're not being listened to. If instead the manager would have paraphrased it and said, you know, that's interesting that you want to change that setup time and you want to change that button. Let me see what I can do, and I'll get back to you at 3 o'clock on Thursday with an answer. When the manager comes back 3 o'clock Thursday, says, you know, I looked into you setting up differently and changing the button, and I'm not able to do it because. And at least by that manager repeating what the people said, they've been listened to. They might not like the answer, but they can no longer accuse the manager of not listening. We don't repeat and we don't paraphrase enough. And so we need to use this technique to show people that we're listening. You can even use it with your kids. Sometimes if you have young kids, they keep repeating something until you turn around and say it right back to them. Mommy, did you see the pretty colors? Mommy, did you see the pretty colors? If you go, uh-huh. Then they go, Mommy, did you see the pretty colors? Until finally you say, yep, I see the pretty colors. Because they want to make sure that you've listened. Somehow we lost this technique when we became adults. Another listening technique, and this one is great to keep people talking, it's called the echo technique. If I want people to continue to talk or I want to show that I'm interested or involved, I echo back the last three words, two or three words they said with a question mark on the end. How do I do this? Well, if someone said, yeah, my kids are really involved in soccer, you say, soccer? And they continue to go on. Now, let me use this technique at a party. Someone starts this. Oh, yes, my kids are very involved in soccer. You say, soccer? Oh, yes, they've played for years. They're on a league that travels, and it's been great. They've had interaction with all types of different cities. Different cities? Oh, yes, we've gone to Detroit. We've gone to Indianapolis, and they've found friends that they still communicate with. They still communicate with them? Oh, yes, they're on the email all the time, and it doesn't take any kind of stamps or long-distance phone calls because they're emailing back and forth, and they get to use the computer, and they get really good at using the computer. Wow, your kids are really good at using the computer then. Oh, yes, they are on it 12 hours a day. You just wouldn't. Anyway, showing you that technique, let me give you a side benefit of the echo technique. You don't have to do any of the talking. And what does the person say at the end of that conversation at the party? You are so wonderful to talk to. Well, all you've done is repeated what they've said and listened. Where can you use the echo technique? I love it in interviews. When someone comes in and you ask them a question, whatever their answer is, you need to echo back the last two or three words and keep them going. How do you find out about a person? You have to peel the onion as far as you can. You need to probe. You need to delve. And so you ask the person a question and then echo back their answer. Some questions are, what kind of teams have you worked in? Oh, I've worked on project teams where we've done continuous improvement, is their answer. And you say, continuous improvement? Oh, yes, we've taken entire plant lines and we've restructured them in a Kaizen event. Kaizen event? Oh, yes, that's where we continuously improve. And what we do is we document everything. You get my technique. You can keep people talking. You'll find more out about the person and what they're thinking with the echo technique. Here's another reason why that echo technique is great. It's using your whole brain again, because you have to think about what you're going to echo back. You're completely focused on that person. This is a great technique on the phone, because on the phone you can't see them anymore and you want to be able to keep involved in the conversation. I use this technique. I hope my husband's not listening to this tape. I use this technique when I'm tired and I don't really want to talk, but I can keep him going for about an hour just by using the echo technique. Let me give you an example. I'll ask him one open-ended question. Honey, what was that new product you're working on? And he'll say, oh, fluid warming that they're using in surgery. And I'll say, fluid warming? Oh, yes, that's because they open you up and they give you lots of fluids. And if they're cold in the operating room, your blood temperature drops and you become hypothermic. Hypothermic? Oh, yes, that's terrible. Oh, if you're hypothermic, all the drug interactions change. And anyway, we go on for an hour. And then he looks at me. He says, you know, it's nice to have time to talk with you, honey. So the echo technique can be great because it keeps your listening skills honed in on that person, and it also uses your whole brain and it lets that person continue to talk. Another form of listening is writing. I love it when I talk to someone and they write down what I said, because I feel like what I said was important, and this is particularly important in a meeting. At the end of the meeting, I would have wanted everyone to take notes and then go back and say, so what I have down to do next is, and they read their notes. Writing is a form of listening. I cannot tell you how many people I see walk through a corporate office and two or three people will tell them things and they'll nod and go, okay, yup, not writing down a single thing. Do those people feel important? No. And chances are you won't remember them. All of the techniques I've talked about so far also enhance memory. Because you're using your whole brain, because you're repeating, because you're paraphrasing, because you're echoing, it's going to help you to retain the information. And people today have lots of things on their minds, so the more we can retain, the better. The next technique is answering a question with a question. We've got it a little bit in the echo technique. But if I want to know what someone really means, and I really want to listen to the intent, what they're talking about, when they ask me a question, I answer back with a question because I want to find out, I want to listen to what they really mean. This is particularly important in sales. Let me give you an example. If someone says, Suzanne, do you customize your training? Now, I give them a short answer because you always answer a question, not with another question because that's rude, but with an answer. Suzanne, do you customize your training? Yes, I do. Why do you ask? And I answered back with a question. And what this person said is, why do I ask? Well, because I'm worried that if you're going to do 10 classes here, that people will get something different each time and we won't have a consistent program. Now, do I understand where that person's coming from? Yeah, it helped me listen to their real needs. Let me show you what a bad salesperson does. Suzanne, do you customize training? Oh, yes. Why? No two classes are ever the same. It's completely customized. We do it different for every audience. What's the response from that person? Well, thanks, but no thanks. Goodbye. Let me give you another example of that. I walk into a store and I say, are your knives very sharp? Because they sell knives. And if the person says, oh, yes, why, our knives are so sharp they could cut through anything. You barely need to touch them and they'll cut through just a tomato with no problems. You never need to sharpen them. They're laser-honed technology. And I say, well, thank you anyway, but I was buying them for my grandmother and I'm worried that she'll cut herself. Here's a better way to answer that question. Are your knives sharp? Yes. Why do you ask? Because I'm worried that my grandmother will cut herself if I buy these for her. And the store person can say, actually, dull knives create more injuries than sharp knives because dull knives can slip off your food that you're cutting and they are more likely to cut you. Let me repeat again the techniques that I've taught you so far. Listening involves you in your whole brain, and it's easy to drift because you're not using all of it. People are talking slow enough that you can do 10 other things. So you need to either use repeating, which is repeating word for word verbatim what someone said, or paraphrasing, which is taking the basic understanding of what someone said and repeating it back to them in a different way. Echoing is listening to what they said and repeating the last two or three words with a question mark on the end. Writing is a form of listening, and the more you write down, the more you'll retain and the more important that person feels. And lastly, a way of listening is to answer a question with a question. Not directly. When someone asks you a question, you answer it politely and then ask them another question to listen to what they really mean. Let me show you an example of using these listening techniques. Imagine that you're standing in front of 40 people at a company-wide meeting or maybe a departmental meeting, and you present some information. Someone stops and asks you a question. Suzanne, why is our profitability changing? Now, you've got a question. First of all, you can use a listening technique that is paraphrasing or repeating. You can say, why is our profitability changing? And you can repeat it. If you're in front of a group, it is always best to repeat a question that you're asked. There's two reasons for this. First of all, it helps to make sure that you understand the question that's been asked and you've stated it properly, because if you haven't, the person will correct you. And also, it gives you a little bit of time to think about your answer. And so for those two reasons, you're going to want to repeat every question. And also, remember again, when you repeat things, it's a listening technique. The person knows they've been listened to. Sometimes the people in the back of the room, by the way, didn't hear the question. So there's another reason to repeat the question. So why has our profitability changed? And then I give them an answer or I ask them another question. So I could give them an answer short that would say, our profitability's changed because our product mix is different. Why are you concerned with that? And if the person says, well, it will affect our profit sharing, then I can say, yeah, it will affect your profit sharing, but it's only 10% of the effect of your profit sharing. Now, what I did is I just rephrased what they said and gave them some information. I'm showing that I'm listening. And in front of a group, it's difficult to keep everyone's attention unless you're constantly repeating and rephrasing what they're saying. Let me give you another example of using listening techniques. Companies do company-wide surveys all the time, and people give them lots of great input. That is listening. When they answer that survey and give you the input, you are, as an executive, supposed to be listening to that. Here's how companies screw up. They never repeat or rephrase or give answers or ask more questions. They take the information, and the employees never hear another thing. Their assumption is, they didn't listen to me. Here's some techniques that you can use. First of all, summarizing the answers and posting them at the company shows that you got all the information and that you were listening to it. If the questions or the answers to those questions aren't something that you want to publish, you can put together just a brief statement of, we had 57 responses, they varied from X to Z, and you can give some quick information. But you need to show people that you listen to them. Now, of course, the best thing would be to answer information with a question or an echo technique to get more information. So if people said on the survey response that they were having difficulties in team meetings, you might assemble a couple people and ask more questions about what are your difficulties in team meetings. You might find out that the difficulties in team meetings are that they don't have the time to meet, or it could be that they don't have a space to meet. But their answer of they're having difficulty with team meetings is not enough information. You need to peel the onion back and find out what's really stinking. And so that's a listening technique. Don't catch yourself doing a survey and giving no information. That includes customer surveys. If you ask a customer a question, you owe them back a listening technique, a summary of the information, a thank you, we appreciated your information, something that shows that you got it and you were listening. There are lots of listening techniques out there, and the best professionals use every one of them. The best salespeople are the best listeners. The best executives are those that the people sitting in front of them know that they're being heard. The greatest professionals use great listening techniques. I hope you can use every one of these.
This has been the Not So Basic Training Podcast. For more information, visit our website at notsobasictraining.com.
produced by Converge Podcasting.